15 on the ticket on this Tuesday rainy morning in Dallas-Fort Worth. And joining us now on the ticket hotline is the 43rd President of the United States. We say good morning to George W. Bush. Good morning, Mr. President.
Yes, P1 Bush reporting for duty.
We love it. And do you realize that you are setting a record this morning? You become the first president to appear on our program three times. So congratulations.
Well, I'm honored. That's a, you know, that's a huge honor. It may end up on my gravestone.
And congratulations on the new book. One, it's called Out of Many, One, Portraits of America's Immigrants. Number one on the New York Times bestseller this week. It looks like a marvelous collection of your oil paintings. Just give us a little background into the book.
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking. So I was concerned about the political dialogue around immigration. And yet I know that the stories of immigrants will help lift the sights of people and, you know, get them out of this harsh view, because A, we're all immigrants, but B, immigrants make enormous contributions to our society. And, you know, I'm like everybody else for enforcing the border, but I'm also for a more decent approach toward people who are who've come. And so this book tells stories of, you know, unbelievable hardship and come to the country. They're unbelievably patriotic people. Many are strong entrepreneurs. All of them support the communities in which they live. And so that's why I put it out, and it's been received well, I think.
It's so great, as we've talked with you before, after your presidency, you discovered your talent and your passion for painting. And we may have asked you this before, but what was that point where you thought, I'm going to do this and I'm going to share it with other people, and even to the point inspiring you to do now a couple of books with your paintings?
Yeah. So, you know, I was agnostic on art up until about 8 years ago. And by chance, I read Winston Churchill's essay, Painting is a Pastime, which I strongly recommend people reading. He's a beautiful writer. And I was at a period in my life where I needed something to help stimulate my mind. And, you know, I read it and said to Laura, that old guy can paint, I'm going to paint. And she nearly fell out. But I was serious. And so, you know, I got instructors, and I've been painting ever since. And it really has changed my life in an incredibly positive way. You know, the presidency is a wonderful learning experience, and then I didn't have it. And so, and I didn't long for it, but I did realize I longed for keeping my mind active and expanding my mind as best as possible.
Have you been down to the DMA and seen the Churchill Room they have down there?
I have. Yeah, he was a good painter. And, you know, I mean, people look, my paintings, you know, I don't know whether it's going to pass a test for fine portraiture, but if people read the stories, they'll see why I painted, you know, people the way I painted them, like Big Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, you painted some athletes, Dirk, Albert Pujols, and our friend David Faraday. And I can't imagine you getting David to sit still for any length of time.
Well, I didn't, none of them sat because they're all too busy. But, you know, we got photos of them, and I knew their story before I painted them. Faraday's a good example. You know, I knew him around Dallas. The thing I admired about David is he overcame a lot. He is a unbelievably talented guy and cares a lot about our veterans. And so I put him in there. He's a character. And, you know, some of them are in there in order to sell books. And some of them are in there as very obscure people who have risen to prominence in their own right. So it's kind of a nice blend, I hope.
It's the 43rd President of the United States, George W. Bush, with us here on the ticket. You mentioned that you're for having a strong border presence, but also respecting those who try to come here and make a new life. That you also mentioned in a recent interview that you do feel like what we're doing right now in immigration is broken. What are some of the solutions that you see that could help this complicated problem?
Well, see, one of the real challenges that people got to get their head around is that a reformed work system makes the border more secure, not less. So in other words, if people can come and do work on a legal basis for a period of time, and they don't have to sneak across the border, then the border becomes more secure. And so there's a lot of jobs around here that where people can't find workers, and yet they're, you know, people want to get out of poverty, willing to do the work. So that's one area. Another area is to beef up the asylum courts on the border. So part of the problem is I've been talking to some of the Border Patrol guys down there. They've had to take border guards off doing their job in order to take these kids, these asylum-seeking kids, to different places and to guard them. And so, in other words, the whole system has been overwhelmed. And the culprit in all this, by the way, is mismanagement government in Central America, plus these smugglers, these thugs who prey upon the human condition. And they tell these poor people anything that they think will get them to give them money, and they smuggle them up here, and oftentimes, you know, just abandon them at the border. And it's a tough situation. The key thing is it's not going to be solved unless we all understand that we're all God's children, and every life is precious.
And I'm sure in all these stories that you've heard and the people that you painted, it gives you and should give all of us this great sense of appreciation for where we live, because the yeah. situations that they're coming from in some cases are just horrific, and all they want is a chance.
Exactly. And they went to great lengths to come. I mean, you know, I think of Gilbert, he's on the cover. He's a guy from Austin now. He was in a schoolroom. He's a Tutsi. He was in a schoolroom in Burundi, and his Hutu classmates locked he and others in the school and burned it down. And Gilbert was a good runner, had 30% of his body burned, ran to a hospital, hid from the Hutus, eventually ends up at a track scholarship in Abilene Christian University, where he met the guy who ended up starting Runtex. And so he went to Austin, and he's got what he calls Gilbert Gazelles, which is a running program. The interesting thing about Gilbert is he got my daughter Jenna out of bed Saturday mornings to run. I figured that guy's a miracle worker.
Yeah, it sounds like you were inspired by some of these stories. I'm sure those who read the book will be inspired by what they've gone through and what they've accomplished.
I hope so. I mean, yeah, there's a, you know, Big Dirk, for example. You know, people look at him, rightly so, as a wonderful basketball player, but he's also a community activist. I mean, the guy spends time helping raise money for kid programs, for example. And so behind these stories, Albert Pujols is another example. He came by the way, when the Angels were playing the Rangers, he came by with his wife. Unfortunately, as you know, the Angels let him go, which is another story. But nevertheless, Big Albert was there. And one of the things that he spends a lot of time on is dealing with Down syndrome children. I mean, and this isn't like showing up for one banquet. This is, you know, a concerted effort. And he's a really good guy, by the way. I still remember the three homers he hit in the World Series here.
Yeah, even though he's a Ranger killer. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I said to him, he said, you know, we're getting ready to go to Houston. They don't like me in Houston. They still remember Brad Lidge. Remember that home run? It's still flying.
This is George W. Bush with us, the 43rd President of the United States. The new book, Out of Many, One, Portraits of America's Immigrants, a collection of his oil paintings highlighting America's immigrants. And I've always admired the fact that you have stayed out of politics. You won't criticize or comment on current or former presidents, and that's great. And if you don't want to go down this road, that's okay too. But I did wonder on January 6th how all of our former presidents felt when they were watching that take place. What was that like for you?
Sickening. It was a sickening feeling. I couldn't believe it, for starters. And then I watched it in horror. And, you know, my view is that they're doing the right thing. The government's doing the right thing to track them down and hold them to account. The good news about all this is that our institutions held. The Congress went and ratified the election. The courts have been very strong about, you know, what was fair, what wasn't fair. And but it was a horrible moment for the country, and I just hope that we don't relive that again sometime.
We've been through a lot as a country over the last 14, 15 months that the world has. Do you, we look to you for optimism. You gave us that when you were president on a number of occasions. Do you have optimism now that we are coming out of the pandemic and maybe coming out of some of these things that have plagued our country and our differences? Do you see some hope?
I do, a lot. First of all, the last election drew a huge number of voters. Remember, there was a lot of talk about, you know, democracy is dead and the kids, you know, want a different system and they don't believe in democracy. And all of a sudden, the vote was overwhelming, which is a really good sign. It's a vibrancy of a system. And elections have consequences. And frankly, one of the messages of that last election was, we expect better from our leaders. You know, we want a different tone. You may disagree, but you don't have to destroy in the process of disagreeing. And so I'm very optimistic about that. I hopefully we've learned to listen. Also, I'm optimistic because I've seen, I know what it was like in 1968. And we came through a terrible period then as well. So we're a resilient nation, and I do believe we'll get out of this pandemic. I think the economy, you know, look, I'm not an economist, but it seems like it's going to be fairly good. And, you know, and the Rangers are getting better.
Yeah, how about that? They're hanging in there.
Yeah, I have a question. Hanging in there.
I have a question about your friendship with Michelle Obama. I know, sure, that you guys have gotten kind of close. When you talk with Michelle Obama, do you guys usually get on a landline and chat, or do you text, or you get on a Discord server y'all set up? What do you do?
We try to meet in person, and I don't know if you ever saw the picture of her giving me a hug at the African American Museum opening a while back. I looked like a little tiny doll, you know. But I like her a lot. We sit next to each other at funerals, and I get a little antsy during these funerals because the eulogies go on too long, so I start cracking a few, you know, wisecracks, and she seems to think they're funny, which is why I like her.
And my other question has to do with, since you're a Dallas resident, do you still have the ticket on sometimes in the car when the guys are driving you around?
P1, baby.
Yeah. All right.
You guys are awesome. You're a classic example of hard work pays off. And I just can't imagine what your evenings are like as you prepare the radio shows. But it's you're dominant. You're rocking. And it's I can't tell you the number of people said, I hear you're going to be on the Musers tomorrow. I said, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. I want to thank you for all you're doing to support vets in these different programs, your bike program, your golf program. It's you've learned what I've learned. By giving back, it really helps your soul.
Yes, amen to that.
You bet.
Well, we can't thank you enough for the time this morning. Out of Many, One, Portraits of America's Immigrants, the new book, number one on the New York Times bestseller list this week, President George W. Bush. Thanks a lot. Hope to talk to you again down the road.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Here he goes, 43, making a record third appearance on our program.
Wow. Man. Never thought I'd get to talk to a president someday. That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's so personable, too.
It's just funny to hear that voice saying Musers.
No, it's incredible.
And the book really does look magnificent. He is a really talented artist.
Yeah, he really is. We mentioned that earlier in the show. That's just so cool that late in life he sat down, started painting, and thought, I can do this, to the point where I'll even publish this, put out books about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stepping out there. It really is. And we were talking earlier in the show, too, about that. To me, you can learn how to play an instrument, you can learn how to juggle or something like that, but learn how to paint, I think, isn't that either you got it or you don't?
I kind of think so. Yeah, and I know you can take classes and get better if you're really bad and whatever, but I think you have to have some sort of innate ability to see something, to make your hands reproduce that with a paintbrush, with a pencil, whatever it is. I think you kind of either have that or you don't.
Yeah.
And he's clearly
that's
got
it. That's a beautiful talent to have. I certainly don't. If I had to sit down and draw something, I just resort to stick figure. I can't do it.
And he's talked before about how therapeutic it is, and you hear all artists talk about that. You know that they just get lost in their work and how it's almost meditative. And I can definitely see that. And I think every president post the pressure cooker of the Oval Office needs some sort of escape like that, whether it's golf or for LBJ, his Amphicar, whatever it is. For President Bush, it's painting.
And, you know, I don't know if other presidents have done this to this degree. Maybe they have, but he's so engaging with people, you know, doing interviews, or you see him at events where he's talking to people, he's relating to people, his veterans program. I think that's, he's so personable, and just no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, I would think you can at least relate to him just as a man, because he puts himself out there.
Yep. That was awesome. Great to have the president on with us talking about his new book. It's 8:30 on the ticket. P1s have been asking for this. Coming up next, we believe we've lined up another big-name guest. We're going to visit with Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit about testing positive.